Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and it is a delight, as always, to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. The number, once again, to call your question in live today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. A couple of things of surpassing importance. One is, this is the end of our fiscal year, and as a result of that, we are asking people to be extraordinarily generous. We believe that the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is an ontological imperative. Put in plain language, it means it is an imperative that comes from deep within the core of our beings. We, as a culture, may very well be on the precipice of disaster. And I don't believe that there is one in 10 Christians, perhaps not one in 100, who seem to have a capacity for understanding the interdependence between life and truth. Because when truth dies, life, no matter, has no significance. When truth dies, put another way, life is marginalized. And as a ministry, we stand for both life and truth. In fact, as we are talking with our staff members today, we are reiterating the fact that life is the very foundation of all of civilization. And yet life has become almost trivial. We think that we have progressed from the time of Stalin, who once said that one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is merely a statistic. But we should have emblazoned upon our minds images of Auschwitz, Dachau, Buchenwald, Treblinka, the killing fields of Cambodia, Stalin's road of bones, a road of hundreds of miles of asphalt, paved with the bones of those who worked under slave labor and forced famines. And we think that can't happen today. In the 20th century, the most cultured country in all of Europe sought to systematically eliminate an entire race of people. In terms of theological and philosophical anthropology, if we are not willing to stand for truth, well, it may get very, very ugly in our own epoch of time. I was talking today about civilizations that have come and gone. If you want to see some of those civilizations, all you have to do is go to the book of Daniel. And there, Daniel chronicles a succession of nations and empires that rise and fall, some of which have been buried now for centuries in the ash heap of history. And today we have to be either blithely ignorant or rashly optimistic to think that we are not on the precipice of that kind of demise. And in the midst of this, we are seeking not to throw up our hands in utter despair, but rather to present a vision to the people of God, a vision defined as hope with a blueprint, a vision for equipping God's people to think Christianly, to think through the lens of a Christian worldview. And this is one of the reasons that we're asking people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Think about the power of one. Whenever I think about that power of one person to make a difference, my mind immediately goes to Luther nailing 95 theses on the castle door in Wittenberg, or maybe even to the Macedonian call heeded by Paul. There, after heeding the call and going to Philippi, he encounters Lydia. Lydia is converted. And out of that one conversion comes Macedonian churches who are extraordinarily generous in facilitating the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Out of the most severe trial, says Paul, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These are people who lost their social standing in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Not only that, but they lost their financial resources, and yet they willingly embraced the gospel because they found their security not in the arm of flesh, but in the arm of God. And Paul says, I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. By all human accounts, the Macedonians had forfeited all that one would deem to be security. This the world would deem a waste, and yet from a heavenly perspective, they had harnessed the wealth of the world for the consummation of the kingdom. In giving themselves along with their gifts, they had secured the very favor of Almighty God, precisely what Mary did when she anointed Jesus with the contents of a costly alabaster flask. To those who don't understand the principles of the kingdom, it would seem as though this were a wicked waste, but to Mary it was a grand memorial to the worth of her Lord. I say all of this because as we finish this month, a fiscal year, one more in the long history of the Christian Research Institute, I want to remind all of you that give to this ministry, that you are making a difference for not only time, but for eternity. And sometimes talking about the power of one, someone out there listening to my voice might think, what can I do by joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team or giving my one gift? But there is an incredible power of one, particularly when the one to whom we give is the one who holds all things in his hands. And so we ask you once again to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially as we close out our fiscal year. And when you do, I would be pleased to send you a subscription to the Christian Research Journal. You can also receive one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check all of this out on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you do write, make certain to indicate that you want to join the monthly support team. And then ask for one of my books personalized or a subscription to the Christian Research Journal, which, by the way, this is the first time we've ever done that. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I've asked Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, to join me in studio not only to answer your questions in just a few moments, but to talk about the newest edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is a magazine that I want to put into your hands as you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Not only as my way of saying thank you, but as my way of equipping you. This is a magazine that equips God's people for just such a time as this.
Yes, Hank, this issue, I know that you were excited about it when you read it, and I'm excited to publish it. There are many articles that I'm sure that our listeners will be interested in, such as we have an article titled Joyce Meyer in the 21st Century, which is basically addressing the question of, does she still teach the false doctrine she was well-documented teaching back in the 20th century? There are people who say that now she's become more respectable and she's not teaching those old doctrines, and so we shouldn't hold her to her past teachings. Well, this article will document for you exactly what she is teaching in the 21st century. And then also we have Hagee's Magic Apologetics, which is a feature-length review of John Hagee's book, Four Blood Moons. And we have another article that fits in with our theme on life as well as truth, which is Christian discipleship, walking in the Spirit, growing in the image of Christ, character development, not just having head knowledge about how to answer and refute other people's arguments in defense of the truth, but living the truth. And so that double emphasis that is essential for the church today, we've got to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so we have an article by seasoned apologist and my colleague, Doug Groteis, titled The Christian Apologist's Moral Compass. I wish this article would have been published about three decades ago when the contemporary apologetics movement was really taking off. There were a lot of people whose ministries could have benefited by getting this kind of teaching and input into their lives early on. We have Rethinking Parenthood, Biblical Foundations for the Family, which stresses how so many Christian families are not different than the families that we see in the world around us because they're living according to the world's concepts of the family and of parenthood. And so we need to look at, what does the Bible teach about these things? How can we really be salt and light? How can we really be a witness for Christ? How can we really express the kingdom of God in our family? And we have retelling the old, old story, Sharing the Gospel with Those Living with Intellectual Disability, which is about, how do you share the gospel with people who are intellectually challenged? And this is a very thoughtful article by a man who has devoted his life to serving the intellectually disabled, and his own child, is intellectually disabled. And so there's a lot of heart in this article, and it's a very helpful article, a very moving article, and very thoughtful article. But in addition to all of those articles, this is an animal rights theme issue. We have several articles dealing with the subject of animal rights from a biblical perspective. Is animal rights a biblical concern? Should Christians be involved in protecting animals from abuse and in fighting for better conditions for them? And where do we draw the line in this whole matter? We have an article by Wes Jamieson, a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University. Thy Animal Kingdom Come, Our Will Be Done, Animal Rights Theology in the 21st Century, which looks at efforts to bring what was originally a secular movement into the church and to sort of bend Christian theology in service of this movement. Then we have a companion article to that by Dan Story, Is Animal Rights a Biblical Concern? A Christian Response to the Modern Animal Rights Movement, which I would say takes a little bit more of a sympathetic view of the animal rights movement, but seeks to draw biblical parameters around this subject. Where do we really draw the line biblically? Then you, Hank, wrote an afterword. You came up with an acronym, PETA, or just PET, Precepts for Human Exceptionalism and the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that really puts it all into perspective with a very helpful acronym so that we can understand where this is an issue that Christians can embrace, but where we must draw the line to maintain biblical doctrine. And then on top of all that, we have a film review of the film Noah by one of our best film critics, John McAteer, and his article, the title pretty much tells you where he's going with this, Film as Pre-Apologetics, How Noah Raises Questions Only Christianity Can Answer. And then in line with that article, I wrote an editorial titled, Was Noah an Environmentalist? And I look at both the question, was Noah an environmentalist? And also, is there anything that we can apply to the whole animal rights question from the story of Noah? So it's a very thorough treatment of the subject, looking at it from many different angles. And I'm sure that all of our readers will find it interesting and helpful.
Yeah, and of course, it is what equips people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. When we come back from the break, Elliot and I will be answering your questions. Do remember, as C.S. Lewis said, enemy occupied territory, that's what this world is. But Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage. We are called to sabotage the kingdom of darkness and to replace it with the light of Christ. And of course, none of us can do the Great Commission entirely on our own, and that's why we're standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Remember, this is the end of our fiscal year, and you can give to the ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or by talking to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter C or I. I'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's Magic Apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute, and I'm in studio with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. In the first part of the broadcast today, we were talking about the Christian Research Journal, a brand new edition out, and one of the subjects that was highlighted by Elliot was the whole issue of the animal rights movement. And what I wrote about in this regard is that a primary precept of biblical theology is that animals occupy a very special role in the hierarchy of creation. And while we must never supplant human exceptionalism for animal equality, we are nonetheless called to the ethical treatment of animals. Because think about it, as they populated paradise past, so too they will most certainly populate paradise restored. Also, I wanted to mention that in this particular edition of the Christian Research Journal, I wrote an article on the Heaven is for Real movie and why I consider the movie to be a dangerous diversion. The title of the article, Heaven is Real, but Heaven is for Real, the movie is really not. Again, the Christian Research Journal available for your for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. If you want to get your free subscription when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, simply go to the web at equip.org. You can also get one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend, your choice. But right now, I want to go directly to the phone callers. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. And Elliot Miller will stay in studio, and together we'll answer your questions. First up is Red. He's listening in North Miami, Florida. Hi, Red.
Hi.
Hi, your question.
My question is, Scripture tells us, resist evil. I don't want to say the D word, but resist evil and they will flee. Submit to God and they will flee. Why haven't they?
Well,
I think from what I'm telling you that you know what's going on here.
Well, I don't know exactly what's going on, but let me say this. I've often said on the show, Elliot, that if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty.
Yes, Red, I'm just wondering, you say you think we know what's going on. Are you talking about why doesn't evil just in the world flee,
I'm
or are you talking about in your own
horribly.
Life? Pardon?
I am being attacked by demons horribly.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, right this very second I am, and, you know, I've lived a Christian life. I always lived the armor of Christ, okay, all my life. And I have no understanding of this, and nobody's been able to give me an answer to what I'm saying to you. Why are they still harming me so badly?
Well, first of all, you know, I don't know your situation, but I do know, and I'm not saying that these are not demons that are attacking you, but I do know that we as Christians do not know what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. We're in a material world, and there are many different things that we deal with, including our own thoughts, and including, other internal and external forces. And so it's very hard to say with certainty that in a given situation, that was a demon versus some kind of thoughts within my own mind that I'm thinking that I need to bring under submission. And so, I mean, I battled with tempting thoughts and back in my early days, tried to rebuke the devil because I was taught that that's what I should do, and he didn't go away. And I began to learn I was dealing with the flesh. I was not dealing with the devil. And Scripture says we are to put off the deeds of the flesh, not rebuke them. And so this is something that has to do with developing discipline in our thought life and in our decisions, learning self-control and control over our own thoughts. But furthermore, Red, I just want to take you back to the same scripture that you cited. Submit therefore to God, resist. This is in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, again, I can't speak to your situation, but I can tell you that there were times in my life when I was dealing with temptation, and I would resist the devil. I would say, Lord, I submit myself to you. And then the temptations would continue. But I realized I was being double-minded about the thing, that part of me wanted that temptation, and it was me that was going back to it, not the devil leading me back to it. So there's all of this, you know, in order to, this is a sure promise from the Word of God is what I'm telling you. You submit yourself to God, you have a single mind, and you draw near to Him. Don't just resist the devil, but draw near to God, seek His face, trust Him, and stand upon His Word. And I guarantee you will experience that the devil will flee from you.
And the point that I think that you ought to underscore, Elliot, one more time, is the fact that it is not our place to try to figure out whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, but rather we should partake of the means of grace given to us.
Exactly, because oftentimes it really doesn't matter what the source is if it's trying to get us to sin, whether it's our flesh, whether it's the devil, whether it's the world. We respond to it all in the same way, and that is that we resist temptation, we submit ourselves to God, we draw near to Him. And, you know, the devil sometimes works directly, sometimes he works indirectly. He sets up the world system. He gets us maybe going in a certain direction, but then we go on autopilot and keep going back to that thing. You know, he's been not even actively involved, but we just keep perpetuating it. So the issue is that we respond to all temptation in the same way, and that is that we resist it. Don't speak to the devil and rebuke him, or you won't get results. Trust in the power of God, trust in this promise of God, and resist sin, and you will get results.
I often find it very interesting that as you read the prologue to the full armor of God, you recognize immediately, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So often in spiritual warfare, we put the emphasis on Satan's power to pillage, where the real emphasis ought to be on God's power to protect. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada on CHRB. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I enjoy your show, and we're monthly supporters. Your ministry has taught me so much, and I want to thank you, Hank.
Bless you.
Okay,
thank you.
So I've been a lacto-ovo-vegetarian since 1996, which means I will consume cheese, sour cream, yogurt, the byproducts of animals, but not the animal itself. I'm now starting to think more about what I'm doing and what I'm putting in my body and wanting to become more of a vegan. So I've been promoting veganism in a way on my Facebook, ethical treatment of animals, and the fact that because of all the food choices we have now in this generation, we really don't need to eat animal tank. Is that biblical for me to do that?
You know what's interesting about that, and I'm really interested in Elliot's perspective as well, and I think you'll be particularly interested in the three articles in the Christian Research Journal. But one of the things that I have pointed out in this regard is that, as Proverbs points out, a righteous man cares for the needs of his animal. And so we should treat animals ethically and humanely. We are created in the image of God, and as such, we are commissioned to treat non-human life with the care and consideration afforded non-human life by God Himself. He's our protector, and we are called to be their protectors. But having said all of that, while we may not eat lamb in the sense of desecrating lamb, we may eat lamb. Our Lord ate lamb during the Passover celebrations. So we must never treat a lamb in a way that dishonors the Creator of the lamb, but Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, did eat lamb.
Yes, and, you know, it's First of all, we know that in Romans 14, for example, that people whose conscience will not allow them to eat meat should follow their conscience. People whose conscience allows them to eat meat should feel free to eat meat. And the two should not judge each other for eating or not eating meat. This is the liberty that we have as Christians. So we have to recognize, just because that's the way that it is, that there is no universal principle of vegetarianism that where it is a sin to eat meat within a Christian worldview. Biblically, when we look at the subject of eating meat, we see that people were vegetarians from the time of Adam and Eve all the way down to the time of Noah, okay? And so in an ideal world, you know, in heaven where there will be animals, I seriously doubt that we'll be eating meat, okay? But does that mean that it's a sin or that it's in some way second best to be eating meat now, and if we want to sort of advance the kingdom of God, we should stop even now with eating meat? Well, you know, if somebody feels that way, I'm not going to put any time or energy into trying to change their mind unless I see that it's becoming, and it does sometimes become, an obsession where this becomes more important than other aspects. There clearly are biblical teachings about sanctification and growing in sound doctrine and so forth. But we clearly know that God is the one who gave man, the edict that, you know, that he would eat meat from the time of Noah onward. And there was no real change in that in the New Testament. In fact, we're told that in the last days there will be some people who will forbid the eating of certain foods. And it can become a real legalistic thing where you have some kind of superiority or outward righteousness because you don't eat meat. So these are some of the principles that the New Testament gives. There's room for vegetarianism, but there's not room for a doctrine of vegetarianism within the Christian faith.
Chris, do you subscribe to the journal?
Well, Hank, I did get the journal like the first 6 months of when I started supporting you, and then it hasn't come for the last, probably since January, and we're still supporting you. So that's always kind of, I've always kind of thought, well, I'm not sure what's going on, but maybe.
Well, I'm glad you called. It is providential because we will correct that woeful circumstance. But, you know, hang on, Chris, and I can send you out the current edition of the journal and we can make whatever corrections are necessary.
What do you happen to know, Chris, what was the volume and issue number of the last issue you received?
It was December of 2013.
Okay, and was it it was volume 36?
It was just at the end of the year.
Yeah. And well, it sounds like we owe you a couple of issues, and so please, you know, we'll connect with you after you go off the air and make sure you get those issues.
Okay, guys, thanks so much.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for calling. God bless you. We are coming up to a station break. After the station break, we'll be taking more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of very interesting questions, like what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? Where is it today? And then a question about heaven, much, much more coming up right after the break. Want to close this segment by simply pointing out that as dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. And I would say that the sad and alarming truth is that any enemy-occupied territory is expanding, and it's not expanding because Christians have stood their ground and lost, but rather because Christians have failed to stand at all, and priceless land has simply been forfeited. Again, standing shoulder to shoulder together in the battle for life and truth, we can make a difference in a very difficult epoch of time. This is a time not to throw up our hands in defeat, but rather to continue making a difference while there is yet time. Only one life, soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is the end of our fiscal year. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure way at equip.org.
to ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, call 888-7000-CRI now and make a generous gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute, and I'm in studio today with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and we're taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. One of the reasons Elliot is in studio is we want to talk, as we did in the first segment, about the newest edition of the Christian Research Journal, and also mention that for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a year's subscription to the Christian Research Journal as my way of saying thank you. To join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, simply go to the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When you write, you do need to indicate that you want to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team and receive your year's subscription to the Christian Research Journal or one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Another way of doing this is simply talking to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Also, as you give this month, please be generous. This is the end of the fiscal year. We have a budgetary goal of $650,000 that we have to reach. We're behind at this point, approximately $11,000 in terms of staying on pace, in terms of making that goal. So again, please be generous as you give, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone line, Sharon in Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I really enjoy your show. It keeps me strong every day, and I do appreciate that you take your time to talk to all of us out here. So thank you very much for your ministry.
You got it.
And you're wonderful. I listen to you every single morning on my way to work. I listen to whatever I can get within that short period of time I go to work and when I get off work and drive home. So thank you for that.
You got it. Thank you so much for those kind words.
Oh, you're welcome. But anyway, I was calling you. I wanted to kind of mention something on the movie about Heaven is for Real. And I know the parents of the young boy are very concerned because things were kind of misconstrued from what he said and what he did and how he described people. And I got to thinking about that, Hank, and I really believe that it doesn't matter if they've messed up how the people looked or anything like that. The thing is that some people may come to Christ because they saw that movie and they were moved to know that heaven is for real, even though the movie producers produced it different than the young boy said. And I thought about that. I haven't seen the movie yet. I intend to go see it, but I keep listening to all this derogatory comments about the way the movie was manufactured. And I think maybe y'all should focus on, like you're always saying, hold on to the good. And the good would be that someone just might see that, that needs to know heaven is for real. Maybe they never believed in God. Maybe they never believed in heaven. And knowing that someone out there saw this and brought back some faction of what is there, maybe that would bring them to Christ. And it might not be a good, bad thing. It might be that good thing that you need, they need to hold on to.
Well, Sharon, I really appreciate your passion for bringing people to faith in Christ, but I've often said what you win someone by is what you win them to. If you win them by a false pretense with respect to heaven, or if you win them by the notion that subjective experiences become a barometer for that which is true, then you're misleading them. Subjective experiences must always be tested in light of an objective framework of reference. And in a biblical perspective or biblical worldview, it is the Bible that becomes that objective frame of references, of reference. And if you think about near-death experiences, and I've studied this for a long time, from the time that Raymond Moody, the occult parapsychologist, wrote Life After Life in 1975, to Betty Eady's Embraced by the Light, to Proof of Heaven by a Neurosurgeon, which is a runaway bestseller. You start thinking about the divergent stories you hear in those various perspectives of what was experienced when they were almost dead as opposed to being actually dead. There's a big difference between biological death and clinical death. But if you think about that, who are you to believe? Are you to believe Colton Burpo, who now says God has physical attributes? Or are you to believe Eben Alexander, a neurophysicist, who says that when you die, you don't have to worry about anything because there is no such thing as good or bad at the end of the day, and there certainly is no such thing as judgment? So you could be Adam Lanza, who murders 20 kids, kills his mother, kills himself, and then flies off on the wings of a butterfly because there is no eternal reward, nor is there eternal damnation. So whose near-death experience defines the truth? And that's why in a biblical worldview, we always say there has to be a North Star by which we test all things and hold fast to that which is good.
Yes, and I also think that it should be pointed out that if I'm understanding you correctly, Sharon, I think you may be confusing two different stories. The one where it has come out that the boy's story is being misrepresented is the boy who came back from heaven. The Heaven is for Real is a different child, and both of those stories have been talked about a lot, so it's easy to confuse them. But nonetheless, whether I want to address the whole issue of whether we should not say something about something that has been proven to be false, even by the person, you know, even this has been stated even by the person whose story is told. And that would be, we have to really step back and ask ourselves, it as long as someone gets saved from a story, does it matter whether it's true? And I remember when, way back when I was a young Christian, there was this man by the name of Mike Warnke, who told an interesting story about how he had been a high priest in the Church of Satan. And he would go from church to church and town to town and tell this story, and many people found Christ as a result of it. I met people who became Christians as a result of hearing Mike Warnke's story. But it later came out that he had not at all, it was documented and proven beyond any shadow of a doubt, that his story was entirely false. It was entirely made up. He had never been involved with the Church of Satan, let alone be a high priest in the Church of Satan. So do we say, well, we shouldn't criticize Mike Warnke for telling a lie because people got saved? Well, that raises the whole question of situation ethics in a Christian context. In secular humanism, you have situation ethics because there are no moral absolutes. So if something, you know, gets a good result, it doesn't matter what means are used to produce it. But in Christianity, you have absolute morals based on an absolute God. God is truthful by nature, and we are called to walk in truth and to put away the deeds of darkness. It's means matter just as well as ends. So you simply can't justify a story based on the fact that people got saved if the story is false or if it stretches the truth. We have to be able to trust that God will bring people to Christ through the power of the gospel and through the actual work of God in people's lives that would be told in testimonies. We don't need to embellish what God's doing. He doesn't need our help.
Sharon, I've given 10 reasons why I consider the movie and the book to be a dangerous diversion, and that's included in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal.
Okay, I understand that, but the thing is that if someone is totally not Christian and they see that and they find and feel that God is real, maybe the movie is not that important to them, as they realize heaven is real, God is real. I don't see how that would be a bad thing. They go, it is for real. So movies, everybody knows movies.
Yeah, but there's more to it than that, Sharon. I mean, among the biblical writers who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, not one dared to say that, like their Lord, they could speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge. And nor, in contrast to Colton Burpo, did one of them dare prophesy the century of Christ's return. In addition to that, Christ does not tell us so many things that Colton Burpo is telling us. For example, Christ never told us that the Father had physical form, that he had blue eyes and yellow hair, that he had big wings, that he was only slightly larger than Gabriel, that Jesus didn't have wings. These are things that matter, because at the end of the day, what this is doing is it is giving us a false view of what the Scripture says, because what's happened is the ideas and depictions of God have come from not understanding how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And I can tell you, quite frankly, that the presuppositions that people have before they have the NDE is usually very consistent with the NDE story that they tell afterwards. So if you are Ibn Alexander and you don't believe that there's such a thing as eternal punishment or such a thing as Jesus being Savior, then you don't see that when you have your NDE. Conversely, if you think heaven is a cube-shaped existence in the sky that has real gates of pearl and God has blue eyes, then that's the perception or the story that you come back with afterwards. So I think that what's important is that you get your information not from subjective experiences, which are notoriously unreliable, but rather that you get your information about heaven from the Bible. God has given us everything necessary in Scripture for faith and practice, and certainly everything to look forward to as we think about heaven as this universe restored. I mean, that's the fatal flaw in all of this. Somehow or other, people think that there's some city up there that we're going to that has streets of gold and gates of pearl, that it is a particularly fixed size, that people in heaven right now have real bodies. All of this is unbiblical. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So people who die are disembodied. Their body is in the ground. Their soul is in the presence of God. And when Jesus appears a second time, then their soul will return to a resurrected body. Not only so, but then this universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And what happens to our resurrection and what happens to the resurrection of the cosmos go hand in hand. Much more could be said. I've written about that in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, as we mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, a subscription to those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team all this month. And also a reminder that this is the end of our fiscal year. We'll be talking about it all month long. And so we're asking people to make the most generous donation that they can so that we can continue to make a difference while there is yet time. My appreciation to Elliot Miller for joining me in studio, for the excellent work he does in the Christian Research Journal. And I'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show. Remember, you can get information, you can subscribe online. The address again, equip.org. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. to enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org.